following conscious. You may know a lot, but don't ever think that you got this. Wise words. Pay attention to these wise words. And people follow people, but seldom following dreams. They tend to follow dreams, but never know what they mean. These are wise words. Pay attention to these wise words.
What's up? We're here on another episode of Wise Words, the relaunch. We got Jeremy Rogers and, of course, Whitey Pines here with me today. We're going to get a little spicy today, I have a feeling, so we're just going to have a good conversation. And I really just met Jeremy, so it's always cool when I get to meet you guys in front of everybody so we get to know each other together. Jeremy, tell us just a little bit about yourself and your background.
So I'm probably most well-known for my run as mayor this last election for Russellville. I'm a libertarian, so that's unique to this area.
Yeah.
But I started getting in politics just because I was tired of, you know, like we're sitting around right now, tired of complaining. I wanted to put my name on the ballot and go with it.
Hey, why not? I mean, I think it's important for, you know, future generations to see that. I mean, because everybody else's time's got to run up eventually, and we've got to start stepping in and filling in those spots.
Yeah, so I was nowhere near politics as far as going in. That was one of my first commitments was, is I'm not going to play politics. I'm not going to go in there and lose myself.
Right.
So running, any question ever asked, I answered it. You ask politicians a question, they don't know where you stand, so they avoid it. They will not answer a question, period. It will,
Yeah. Always divert.
Yeah.
Or go to a certain protocol thing on it. So I get that. But yeah, no, I think that's super big, you know, for you to just go out there and be yourself and answer questions, and especially even come on here, you know, and put yourself out there.
And the dude, he, Joe Biden's you, right? Like, he didn't show up for any forums with you.
Period. I sent him an email prior to starting any campaigning to sit down and have a conversation with him, and see where he stood on things. I was thinking he would campaign. So just discuss.
How long has this guy, for the people that don't have a background on that, how long had this incumbent been in office?
He had already been in office 16 years. So.
And the town size.
So Russellville, the population is 8,000, roughly 8,000. The voting population in the prior elections was only around 1,600. So out of 8,000, only 1,600 people show up. So taking those numbers into account, I figured the voting population is 4,000. So I was like, you know, there's a huge population that's not even showing up to vote.
Why do you think it is? Well, I can't vote, but why do you think that is?
I thought they don't have a candidate. So they
don't have a voice.
Yeah, they don't have a voice, and there hadn't been a challenge in 30 years, really, because the one before him, you know, he won it. I don't want to say luck. There's just never been a real challenge. It's just, here's my name. My name's Stratton or whatever it may be.
And I know so-and-so and so-and-so.
Yeah, so.
And I couldn't even tell you what any of the mayors looked like. Like, if I ran into them at the store, I couldn't. I was like, hey, there's the mayor. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't see these people, I feel like.
Yeah. You should know, in a small town of 8,000 people,
right?
Exactly.
You should be running into these people. You should know them. But that wasn't the case. But I thought with that unheard voice and the fact that social media in 16 years has completely changed the landscape, anybody can run because it shouldn't cost money to get your name out there.
Right.
So name recognition, you're not having to pay a radio station to play your name or put billboards up.
For all the signs and stuff, you can literally just run some ads on Facebook or, you know, do organic audience engagement.
Yeah. And I think in the next election, I'll have a better. It took me probably 7-8 months. It was only into the summer that year before I really picked up steam.
I think you made a bigger impact than what people gave you credit for. Yeah. And I think that even after the election, some light bulbs might have went off. Some things need to change, and hey, it's up to us to do it. Like, we can actually make a difference.
So, he did win the election. But I'm also, a incumbent has a huge advantage in the U.S. because if you're the incumbent, you're politicking with my money.
Explain what that is. I'm not familiar.
Oh, the incumbent?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's the one that holds the office. Uh-huh. So I'm challenging him. It's not an open
and
spot.
He's playing with house money.
He's playing with house money. So during the election.
So he's running off our tax money.
Yeah.
Jeremy got to run off whatever he can hustle up sponsor.
If I say parks, what happens? The parks that year get better. You say streets get better.
Yeah.
I can't even do that. So, you know, you're playing against your own money.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, your position and your ideas, like, inspired things for him to change while he's in office the next 4 years to kind of build off of your
one
vision?
Year. 1 year. That year of election to win, things got, you know, done that year. But after you win the election,
yeah,
and especially if you're not planning on running again.
How much does that office pay somebody?
So that's roughly really hard to figure out.
What's it on paper? What's it supposed to pay?
So that's even more stupid. So it's calculated. It's by law, but it's set to 1949. So it's $10,000 is what I'm guessing. I'm thinking it's $10,000, but it's set at 1949's cost of living. So
they ain't appraised it.
They adjust it while you're in office. So the way you would have to figure it out is look at the cost of living. That's how it's wrote in law, so that they don't have to change it every year. It just changes with inflation. So you see what I'm saying?
I never knew that.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, but can't we get at least an updated version from 2000s, or something?
So when I point blank asked, it was roughly 60,000, but then that's misconstrued because you also get paid for if you sit in on committees. So if you're on the Logan Industrial Committee, you get X amount of dollars a month for doing that or per meeting or whatever.
There's bonuses and incentives that go along with this.
I don't know how much.
But that wasn't what you was concerned about, though. It wasn't about the money for you.
No, it was not. It would have been a pay cut for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the base salary. Right. So that was more concerning than that.
It was more of your passion.
Yeah, because also during it, I wanted to do it as low as possible. As far as spending money, I didn't want to because it was to prove to the next generation, as you mentioned, or to anybody, that you don't need money to run for office.
Right.
Because it's more about passion and...
I hate to say it, but popularity, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or how well known you are.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't be how it's ran. When I walk into a council meeting, especially in a city, I believe, looking at the council and the mayor, it should be a representative of Russellville. It all looks the same.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people are just disinterested in it. Because they feel like, man, it's just the same dog and pony show all the time. You know, it never changes. You know, they're going to do what they want to do. And if they do something good, there's usually an ulterior motive attached to it. And that's the idea of politics from the grassroots level to the White House. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, I think a lot of people, though, become misconstrued and just, like, vote on, like, the presidential election. When really, if we really want to make an impact, we got to bring it back home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And vote locally.
A lot of people, and talking to a lot of people, that was the reason they didn't vote is because they feel like their vote don't matter. And at a presidential level, that don't make much difference. But at a local level, you're talking 1,600 people. If you want change,
yes,
it is the local, the lowest level you can, because any money from the top that gets spent locally comes down to them.
I'm under the impression, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like, if you want to sway the presidential vote, then even voting locally is the way to do that. I mean,
yeah, but at a national level, they do it by electoral. So Kentucky is a red state. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to swing Kentucky very far. You would have to, it'd take a miracle.
We got a red state, but we got a Democratic governor.
Right? Yeah. That was an anomaly to the equation. That's because the one before him was a Republican and poked at teachers.
You know what's crazy is because he is a Democratic governor. Like, I've got some of my people in Nashville that even like a conservative in Nashville would be like, man, I wish we had y'all's governor. You know, and I'm like, what did he do? Like, you know, I guess the way he handled COVID, he was kind of not too far one way and not too far the other way.
No, he was definitely far. He was far Democratic side, but he has lessened power. We was talking off screen about the council having power over the mayor. Well, we have a Democratic governor, but we have a super majority in legislation in Republicans, meaning at the state level. You have the state house and the state house of representatives. They're super majorities, meaning they can overrule any veto. So it's actually the two houses in Kentucky that control him. So he's good at speaking, and during COVID, he got some extra authorities under the emergency clause that wound up being against the Constitution.
So, all right, I got a question for you back to the small town campaign. What do you think lost the election for you? Like, what, in retrospect, I feel like a lot of people have always complained about this town needing to change and get with the times. But when the election rolled around, they went with the same old, same old, where you was representing real change. And you even offered to wear a body cam when you clocked in the morning and when you clocked out to show the taxpayers where their money was going, what you was doing for them.
And that would have been
open records. And that's transparency, man. Like, that's the way it's supposed to be. But they still would have rather went with this, you know, the devil they knew. So why do you think that was?
Because I was never playing towards the ones that vote regularly. So those 1,700 people, the ones that did vote for me, I did sway. But I knew going into it that if I did not get the registration and the people that don't vote, the other 2,000.
Is that a specific demographic of age, or what is that? What is that, the majority that you wasn't able to tap?
The under 40. So the under 40 is not registered. They're not showing up.
That's who you needed.
That's who I needed, was my generation.
So the over 40s.
They're voting in masses.
And that wasn't even your intention to sway them. Your thing was to get the people out of the seats that wasn't. Right.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
He knew he wouldn't be able to sway.
Yeah, I couldn't sway
the numbers are so big in the people that's left on the sidelines that if you could just get a small fraction of that to come in.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
So, smart. It was, regardless, I think it needed to happen. Like, even though you didn't win, I think that needed to happen.
A wake-up call.
To set the tone.
Yeah.
And so, what's next?
So, I count myself at the beginning the tip of the sword. So even if I had won, change wouldn't fully take hold until the next group comes in. So I'm hoping to see more names on the ballot, especially in the 2024 election.
The 2026?
The 2026, yes.
Yeah, 2026. So we got 2 years. You got 2 years to plan. Something else, so you're not a Republican, you're not a Democrat. We've talked about this at length, but, you know, explain what you are. There's a third party, you know, that you hear about, but you never really see, you know what I mean? And that's the Libertarian Party. And that's your party.
So the Libertarian Party, I am a third party candidate in most elections.
And that's different than independent, or is that one and the same?
So independent is encompassing all of the third parties. It could be a fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever. So you have the Tea Party, you have the Green Party. The Libertarian Party is just the largest of the independents.
So you have Republican, you have Democrat, and then they throw all the rest of y'all into the independent.
Yeah, right. We fight it out to see who can get that third spot on the ballot.
Okay.
Which happens to be the Libertarian Party that has been getting it here recently. In past elections, it's been the Tea Party and some of the others, but currently the Libertarian Party is the third largest one.
How big is it in Kentucky?
It is the third largest one. I can't give numbers on the population. I think it's right. It has to be over 3 or 4% to even be.
So, as far as ideals go, like we kind of joked about it earlier, that a lot of people out there are probably libertarians and they don't even know it. You know, give a little summary of what some of the ideals, where y'all lean at on policies.
So, don't tread on anyone. That's one of our big
core values
is so basically victimless crimes shouldn't be a crime. So good example of this is the seatbelt law. That shouldn't be a law. If you don't want to wear your seatbelt, what is it the government to come in and say you should have to wear your seatbelt? Setting maturity age. It should be just one maturity age. If you're old enough to go to war, you're old enough to drink and smoke cigarettes.
Yeah.
Let's just set it at one age, and then that's when you get those other rights. The other one would be taxation is theft. Mm. So in a libertarian world, there wouldn't be taxation as it is now. It would go back pre-IRS.
Yeah.
So IRS didn't even come around until the early 1900s. Now, I live in a realistic world. We couldn't do that. So my theory there for Russell is just to become a net zero. Net zero is whatever we send the government at each level, we should get that back to the city of Russell. Meaning, you know, if we send X amount of dollars to the state, we should get X amount back to be able to spend locally there. Same thing for the federal government. Because right now, a lot of the smaller rural areas are subsidizing the cities.
Yeah.
So we send that money elsewhere. Even locally, Russellville subsidizes Logan County, the county. So we pay county taxes, but the county government, which is your magistrates and your judge executive, really don't spend a lot of money in Russellville.
Right.
Not to the amount that comes out of Russellville.
Where does that go? Is it just mismanaged or what? Because I feel like people are taxed to death, and there's nothing to show for
it. We tax when we spend it. We tax when we hold it. You know, like
now at the global level, like at the top level, we know our money's getting sent somewhere else.
Yeah. So at the national level, it goes overseas. So at the state level, it goes to the bigger cities, your Louisville, your Lexington.
Where do they spend it on?
Infrastructure. So when you drive by and you see 15 guys standing around one guy with a shovel, that's very inefficient. You know, so you just spent $5,000 on a pothole that you could have filled.
And a lot of these kids are like, you know, I'm not going to down our youth or whatever, but they're not getting the education that they need either. So they can't really say they're spending it on education, right? I mean, because...
Well, they're spending it on education, but...
How efficient is that? It goes back to efficiency.
Logan County's a prime example. We all went to Logan County. Have y'all been out to Logan County lately?
It's huge.
It's huge, yeah. But it's not in academics.
Yeah. Right.
So,
yeah.
So we're building structures and...
Yeah, we're building stadiums.
Yeah.
That you can't use outside of school hours.
And this has nothing to do with, and this has nothing to do with politics, but why is it like you'll see a brand new building, you know, a tenant will be in there and then they'll go out of business and hell, they'll tear that down and build another one across the road you know, instead of utilizing that building, like,
bringing up tearing down, we probably should tear down the Carpenter Center.
Yes, I couldn't wait to get into this one. Could not wait to get into this one. Speaking of spending money and the misuse of other people's money, you brought something to my attention last year, or maybe it was a year before that, and it kind of made me pause and be like, man, just let's get into it.
So you're upset about spending $500,000 a year on a swimming pool?
That I have to pay a membership for?
You have to pay for afterwards?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead on that.
So we spend, Russellville has a very, the city only brings in $9 million a year to fund everything, the police, the fire department, the parks. You know, it's a big organization. $500,000 of it goes to the Carpenter Center, which the year I ran, the pool was down.
Yeah, what is the Carpenter Center for those that don't know? It's basically a recreational center in this town. I don't know the exact square footage or anything, but they got, you know, a gym, workout machines. They got swimming pools.
So the pool is, so from inception, the pool was a bad design. There was lawsuits over it when it was built. The construction of the pool, which is important to this story, is the water table is too high. So the pool is built on a water table that's too high from design or from...
Long story short, it's jacked up.
Yeah, it's jacked up. So it's always going to hold water inside of the facility, which corrodes away at the roof. So there's been several roofs and several people taking stabs at it over the... Now going on 25, 30 years.
We're talking about repairs and maintenance and everything.
So along with trying to upkeep a pool, and if you own a pool or anything, it's expensive. It don't get utilized by a lot of people. So the percentage of citizens that get value out of this, in my opinion, does not equate to $500,000 a year to try to maintain it. And that year, you throw an extra $500,000 on it to repair the pool and put a new roof on it.
So let's break that down. So you got a pool that's spending how much?
$500,000 just to operate.
$500,000 a year is the maintenance still just going to keep it running right.
Still going.
In a town who's
8,000 people and probably 1,500 at max have memberships, and a lot of those are forced because companies give them to them, like factories, you know, hey, you get membership to the Carpenter Center. They're not utilizing. The parking lot only holds 30 people.
So what tax money is going into this? Whose tax money? Is it people that live in the city or outside the city or both?
It's both. So it's a lot of it comes from payroll tax as far as if you work inside the city limits, you get taxed on your paycheck. So your carpenters, your Emerson that went out, blah, blah, blah. That's where the revenue's coming from.
So they're taking the people's tax money to fund this project. And then if the people want to use this project, they got to buy a membership for it.
Yes, yes. So that's a big issue with me is you're already paying to.
Yeah. Now what brought this on to you? Like, when was you like, man, that swimming pool is an issue?
It didn't actually start at the pool. It started with the park behind McDonald's.
Yeah, that we built and never used.
Complex or
whatnot. Yeah, so that's what threw up a red flag to me even before I ran. That was one of the moments of this is fucking stupid is I drove by and the fence is locked up, and I see these two kids walking by with a football, throwing it up in the air, walking by the fence, looking in at the fence. And I'm like, why the fuck am I paying for a park that's locked, that the kids can't get on?
Yeah.
That's retarded to me. And then investigating it, you have to rent that park out. You have to pay money to get into that park. But I'm already paying for it. So that got me in onto the parks department. And then I had to find where's the money? Where's the money going? And then started digging, and the big chunk of Russellville's, what I would call pleasure money.
You know what it reminds me of? So when the mob built Vegas, they used a lot of the Teamsters money. to build Vegas or whatever, but what if them Teamsters wanted to go to Vegas, you know what I'm saying, and then they would get their hip busted, you know, and come back home, want to jump off a bridge because you lost all your hard-earned money in Vegas that they built from money that you made in the first place. So
what's the answer here, though? Because, like, I mean, we need something, or Russellville needs something, but we've got, you know, these places that are getting built.
Look, before we get into that, this affects small... This ain't just Russellville affects. And that's kind of where we're going at here, is because
the
we're
using tax dollars
Russellville as an example. But this is what happens in small towns and bigger cities all across America right now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the Carpenter Center, it's a funny story because even some of the politicians don't like that they're putting the money, but there's pressure from individual groups that want to keep this. But, and I'm not even against the pool. I swear I'm not. I'm not against even having it. I'm against inefficiencies.
Yeah,
we know it's fucked.
And I think that's what Jordan was asking. Like, you know, what do we?
Yeah, that's what.
What do we do about it? You know,
instead of over the last 10 years, that's $5 million. Why not just build a new pool that ain't got the problem? Fix the problem. You can't put a roof if the foundation's fucked.
Right.
I mean, I would rather have an outdoor pool. I know that it can't be utilized all year round, but, like, who really wants to?
Y'all remember Spring Acres?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was lit back in the day, Spring Acres.
Yeah.
Do you remember Spring Acres?
I do not.
We had, like, baseball.
Did we have to pay to get in there? Or was it a public pool?
I don't know. I wasn't paying to get in anywhere back then.
Yeah.
It was private.
It was.
It wasn't owned by the
city
government. Yeah. The money itself could be utilized somewhere else better. You know, $500,000 a year, that could funnel into the park system.
Right. Which hasn't been updated in a while either, so that brings another point probably.
They did drop some money the year of election. There is some new playground equipment at both parks. And since then, I've saw more people at the parks than ever before.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think that's always been the problem there. It's like nothing can survive, you know, and then people complain about there's nothing for the kids to do.
And I spoke on this at a campaign meeting. Russellville has to shift from what I would call an industrial city, where people just go to work and come home and the taxes are derived from factories, to a destination city. The reason is the industrial city is going away, meaning when factories go out, Emerson, they're not coming back. They're going to go to I-65. They're going to go where it's logistically better. So all those factories came in prior to the industrial boom on I-65, those factories ain't going to get replaced. If Russellville don't become a destination city, whether it's a parks and rec type destination city, if it don't find something, then it will be Lewisburg.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. At the rate it's going, Auburn's going to outgrow Russellville.
It's lack of access. I think that's why there's no restaurants. Or, you know, There's no interstate access.
So in your trade, like fiber optic cable or whatever, what you sell, you're never going to Russellville,
No, not unless I'm going to Clarksville or Hopkinsville.
Right. You know, to go around it.
Yeah. So, I mean, they should tell you right there, fiber optic is the wave of the future, right?
Right.
It ain't going on in Russellville.
You can check your address at findfiber.net. But,
yeah.
Shameless plug. But no, I mean, they do have it, but it's ran by, like, the electric plant board, you know, so.
Yeah, that's the best one in there, down there, but you can only get that in certain areas. Like, I just feel like they're not prepared for the future, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have a good, show me Russellville's 5-year, 10-year plan, you know what I mean? Where are we going to be at? Where they want to be at? Like,
Lewisburg's where the 5-year plan.
Where Lewisburg just got a Mexican restaurant that's fire. So, you know, moving up in the world.
I mean, we can get back into this, but let's just rewind a little bit, man. What At what point did you decide that, hey, this is something I want to do?
I've always been interested where my money goes. That's a trait of being poor. So the more money I made over my career, when you start seeing those tax dollars increase every year, I would just bitch and complain every year more and more until I got high enough to realize that politicians are humans, meaning they're really no smarter than any of us.
We just went over that too.
So why not? Can I figure out how to get on the ballot? Because I'm not one of them, so I'm not going to go try to put on a costume and be one of them. So, you know, with the age of the internet, I got on there, found out how to get on the ticket, which ain't very hard.
I think that says a lot about you, though. You know, you come from poverty, you worked your way to the middle class, and when it comes to politics, you don't want to be in the circle, you want to be in the seat, in the office.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't want to be a member of the country club.
Yeah.
You want to.
And that was very felt during the campaign. I know this is kind of going over that year, but, you know, going to some of the events, you know, I'd come in and you could tell everybody in the room or in this event.
He's the black sheep of the.
Yeah. So you have Republicans and Democrats, but they're all the same. You know, I was the second party coming to the events. You know, whether it be a debate or anything else, they're all mingling. They're all
you were the black family. Sheep then.
Yeah.
Outcast of the.
Was that empowering, or was that awkward for you?
So I've never really cared about what other people think about it. That's a staple of a libertarian.
Yeah.
But you know, it went from who is he to glares. So some glared, like, you know, why are you doing what you're doing? You're messing up the.
Yeah, get out of the. You're not a part of the plan, so don't mess with the plan.
That's one thing. You will. You'll stand your ground. And you'll butt back against something you feel like is unjust and unfair, and I admire that about you. So there was something, you ended up in a lawsuit against the city?
So it wasn't technically a lawsuit. It was a violation from the Open Meetings Act. So going, and this goes back to the roof for...
Go to these open meetings any chance you get.
Yes.
And so, anybody at home can do the same thing, right?
So they're open to the public. There's supposed to be transparency. That's what the Open Records Act's for, is if you have a meeting, they're not even supposed to discuss items for the meeting outside of the meeting.
Right.
So you should be able to go to your city council meetings and listen and see how they come to conclusions on a decision.
Right.
That's what they're for.
You did that.
So that whole year, you know, I went to every meeting that had an agenda that was going to have something discussed.
Mm-hmm.
So multiple times during that year, the Carpenter Center came up. So the Carpenter Center, first the pool, it was leaking. So first meeting, it came to be jets. So the jets were cracked. That's what was causing the leaks. Me and the mayor had a little spit spud about it was two jets.
Are they paying somebody to go in and diagnose these problems, or how are they coming to this?
Yeah, so engineers came in, and my question.
From where? Where are they getting these people from? Are they somebody that the mayor knows, or you see what I'm saying?
That I didn't know. My biggest question was, it was stated that there was two jets that had failed, and I was concerned because... How do two jets, what's the likelihood, honestly, of two jets failing at the same time causing a leak?
They were the same brand.
That's like a stoplight going out, you know, both stoplights going out at the same time.
So, you know, and I already knew that the foundation was suspect from the lawsuits from the creation of it. I got wrote off on that, and that meeting passed on, so they... said, yes, we're going to fix the pool. Then 6 months later, the pool's fixed, and then they have issues with finding somebody that's qualified to put the liner back in the pool. Okay, so that meeting happens, which throws up red flags to me and to y'all, but why do you have a liner in a...
In-ground.
Pool.
Concrete.
Pool. Yeah, so that should be a red flag. But no, there's a liner.
Unless they're calling it tile liner or something.
No, no, it's a liner because your water table's too high and you...
Oh, God.
So, all right, so...
And I'm not even a pool guy. You know what I'm saying? Like...
So, yeah. So they... Nobody wants to touch it because it's a liability. So it's hard to find somebody to put a liner in a pool if you don't want to get sued when it don't...
Some kids.
Yeah, so they wind up hiring some guy that he installed pools in California some time ago, but he has to get certified to put this liner in. So this was the first time he ever put it.
So they run him out of California for doing shitty work and he ends up over here then, right? No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. But I wonder that, like, anytime I see a transplant or somebody, you know, like, man, what'd you do, you know? But anyway.
So then comes the third problem. They don't want to put the liner in because the roof's fucked because all the evaporation, the roof, have you been in the carpenter center? So they want to get the roof fixed.
No, I ain't been in a minute because.
But as the water evaporates, it's not going down, it's going up. So they want to try one more time to find somebody that can fix the roof.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where I knew this is coming up. I go to the meetings regularly. The agenda items are on there, what they're going to discuss. The norm for them was is they have what they call an executive meeting, meaning they're having a conversation that's not prudent to the public to hear, like personnel or legal or other issues that they can basically... The public has to leave the meeting.
Yeah.
So that was at the end of this.
That's what I want to hear is what's being said.
Yeah. So it wasn't on the meeting for the pool to be discussed. So at the end of the meeting, they go into executive session. That's what they're called. So at that time, I leave because there's nothing else for me to do. So I leave and they go into the executive meeting. And then they come out of the executive meeting. Then they have the vote to vote on the pool to have the roof put on.
Red flags.
So yeah. I didn't find out about this until the next meeting when a member of the public came to ask about the pool. And when they asked about it, they said they voted at the last meeting. Well, when they said they voted the last meeting, I said, no, I was here. And they was like, no, we did it after the executive meeting. I was like, that's not on the agenda. We go into a big argument to where the city attorney basically shuts me down, makes me stop talking. So at that point, I feel like they went into the executive meeting to get me to leave the meeting. They discussed the pool roof, and then they voted on it so that I wouldn't question.
Yeah, you're a real thorn in their side at this point.
Yeah. They claim that ain't what they did, blah, blah, blah.
So the only avenue you have when you have a dispute about open records is to submit it to the state attorney, which I'm well aware of my open records request because they wouldn't give me any information that whole year. I had to do everything through open records anyway.
Right.
So I sent that to the state attorney. He sided with me that they went in improperly without telling what they was going to discuss in the meeting, because that's also law. You have to tell what you're going into the meeting about. I could have took that to court and sued at that time, but the election was a couple of months away, so I just took that decision and tried to publicize it, but that's a hard topic to...
Yeah.
But basically, they was not doing the meetings correctly.
But nobody was questioning it, so it wasn't a... So
it was a technique of getting...
Yeah, nobody recognized it, nobody was standing up against it, so... So you brought it to the attention of who?
The state attorney.
So. And what did they do with it?
So they do an investigation, so they get responses from the city, so the city attorney had to respond with what actually happened on their side, because nobody knows, because closed door. And I have to give what I saw... And then they take all the facts in the case and the city records and everything and make a decision. So that decision was that they entered the meeting incorrectly. They can come back out of the meeting and host that vote.
But they're going to let y'all know that.
But they don't have to let, didn't have to be on the agenda, but they couldn't go into that meeting. So if they hadn't gone into that meeting, I would have never left.
See, and what I'm getting at all this, and what I think everybody needs to get out of this, is you did all that one man against a town that has been set up, you know, this way, whatever, and they've been having these meetings off the books or behind closed doors or whatever. Just think of what it would be if there was 10 of you, 10 Jeremy Rogers.
Three.
You know what I'm saying? Three. Yeah. Like, I think the more people will wake up and get involved, I think that's the key.
Yeah, and it's not the last time y'all are going to hear from me. I'll be on, I don't know who I'll challenge or what office we'll see.
How can we get behind you? How, you know what I'm saying? Like, what would...
Registration. So, we need to get the under 40 registered and ready to take over the offices. We need to get people to come vote. Stop bitching and complaining about it and go vote at a local level.
I feel like there's a... You're saying the under 40... But that stops, I think. So my daughter's 21. 18. I feel like that little group right there is kind of like they're going to come out and vote. Or the younger group, right?
They're not.
In between, like, our age to about, what, 30 is kind of like, we don't care.
No, it's
that, all the way down. It's,
they're not registered. The lower you go, the less registration it is.
So what are we going to do when the old voting class dies out?
Right. We're all basically in the same generation right now. We've gave a big FU to the. They're just stagnant in the positions.
So be on the lookout, Jeremy Rogers, 2026 something. And if people are interested in the Libertarian Party of Kentucky, where can they go, or what's some ways they can?
So the Libertarian Party of Kentucky is active at the state level. So you can go online and Google Libertarian Party of Kentucky, get on there. Bowling Green is the closest local office to see.
And I'm not saying one way or the other, you know, Republican, Democrat, but I am saying I think it's at least worth people checking out. Like, I myself am not a Libertarian. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. But I do feel like the more people educate themselves, obviously, the better it is.
And it's not that far off. Especially in this area, and y'all might not know this before you end the segment, is Rand Paul, the Republican for, lives here in Bowling Green.
Yeah.
His father, Ron Paul, is one of the leading Libertarian members, and Rand he leans Libertarian on some.
Yeah.
Fun fact, he was my landlord of the first house that I rented in Bowling Green.
Yeah. So
which one? Rand or Ron?
Rand. I'm pretty sure though.
And his wife's from Russellville, so the Libertarian, so more people in this area are probably Libertarian because he has extreme support, from that side.
Mm. Well, let's shed a little bit of light on you real quick, man. I mean, what do you do outside of that? What brings in the bacon?
I'm a plant superintendent at a local factory. So
okay. So at the top of over there too, superintendent, kind of oversee.
So I'm over the whole plant.
That's awesome.
So management. So even running for mayor, managerial responsibilities was not an issue. If we wanted to match resumes, I had managed a lot more than what the mayor.
You've been on salary, right?
Yes.
And you got years experience.
Yes. So the managerial part, so the politicking was the only thing that was new, and I wasn't playing the role of a politician.
Well, like I said, you know, if I could vote, you'd have my vote in a heartbeat, but I think it's crazy, you know, I was born in this country, you know, I can't vote, you know, but they're going to let whoever come in and basically give them my rights, I guess, that they took from me. But it is what it is, you know.
And that's all, you know.
If I can align myself and get behind people like you that I feel like are, you know, beacons of change, then, you know, I did my part. My vote, you know, counts in other ways. So.
And that's for a deeper conversation. That, right. That's part of the system is to eliminate.
Oh, believe me.
Yeah, if they can grab, if they can grab your vote, if you don't align with it, you know.
So, something Jordan always likes to ask.
Man, I got a lot of questions. No, but this is the Wise Words podcast, man. So we always try to get some inspiration, some wisdom from everybody. Do you have any quotes that you live by that you think about daily?
Humor is like a rubber sword. You can make a point without drawing blood.
Woohoo! Damn! He's spitting.
So,
rewind that. Say that
one more time. So, humor is like a rubber sword. You can make a point without drawing blood. So, you know, basically you could say something funny and do something and still make a point.
Johnny, I hope Johnny is listening to that one.
Yeah.
He'd like that one.
That's a good one. I'm gonna have to put that on a shirt. Nah, but I get it though. It makes sense if you really
Yeah, if you go in with a sword, you're gonna hurt feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But if you go in with a joke, you can make a point without drawing blood.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess you can do it with a rubber sword too. Just
smack just have to do it a little harder.
That's awesome. Man, you seem very educated and intellectual. I've found that, like, you know, reading lots of books kind of keeps your brain sharp. Is there any book that you recommend or that you read more than once?
So I don't actually read a lot of books. I keep up with the news cycles.
Yeah.
So I like to keep up with current events. And, you know, if there is something that comes up, I will research it.
So how do you get that kind of baffles me though, that you don't read, because you strike me as somebody
that reads,
you
books
know, well knowledge. How do you come about, like, your ideals and like, how did you figure out, hey, the Libertarian Party is for me?
Very simple. It's why. So I'm obsessed with the word why. So
why is that?
So it's those rabbit holes. So if something don't strike me as right, I'll ask why. And then with the World Wide Web now, you can find, if you dig deep enough, you can find why something is like it
so
is.
So you're a researcher.
Researcher, right? Yes. Yeah, so a book, I'm not...
You're not a leisure book, reader. You read, yeah, but it's a very defined, concerted...
Yeah.
Yeah. With all the false information out there, how do you decipher what's, you know, something that's, what's the word I'm looking for?
Credible.
Credible, thank you.
So, logic and statistics. So, what is most rational? If you look at, and we're going to go back into politics in another rabbit hole, but, you know, you look at how the systems are set up. So, the city council is set up on an at-large thing. So why is it at large? Why is it so hard to get a seat with six members? Y'all might not know this, but most of your city councils in Kentucky are voted at large. And that means that there's six names or however many names are running, and you get to pick six of them. Okay?
Okay.
That voting system is outlawed at the federal level because it is discriminatory or
discriminative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because your power vote or your predominant group can control it. Meaning, if you have a minority that's running, even if they have 1/6 of the population, they're still not going to get it because the others are going to vote the top six in there.
Mm.
So, you know, doing the research, that was something that was real popular in the Jim Crow era, and it's just never been weeded out. So that at large, instead of having districts to where you have representation all around the city, you just have six at large, and you can have all six people living in the same neighborhood. So the representation's not there.
Wow.
But that's the...
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, they're... Getting back to the question at hand, you know, that's just stuff. Why doesn't city council look like the city? You know, why don't it? And then you get the digging deeper, you know, why do we vote this way? Why is there six here, but I got to run head-to-head with this person?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you ask the question, you get online, you do research, you know, as far as the reading goes and the knowledge goes, is it's just rabbit hole after rabbit hole after
rabbit
hole.
Yeah, I was going to say, the why never really stops.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's almost like they set it up to be overly complicated, too,
yeah,
to lose people. You know what I mean?
And then the people that are in the system don't want to change the system because they don't see nothing wrong with it because they wasn't there 70, 80 years ago when the system was put in.
And their perspective is, you know, adjusted to the way that they have seen it. So, you know, they don't see the other side of it that you may see.
Yeah.
Because they was, you know, groomed toward that perspective.
Indoctrinated.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't want to go there.
Yeah, we also do like this rapid fire section. Basically, we're just going to fire off some questions to you. Just give us the answer first thing that comes to mind.
Uh-oh.
Right. Yeah, so I'm going to start it out with, are you a morning person or a night owl?
I prefer the mornings, but currently I'm on second shift, so that's gone.
Yeah.
How many kids you got?
Zero. Got three dogs. They cost.
Are you married?
I am married.
Okay.
What's your dog's names and breeds?
They're all pit bulls. You have Rebel, Lucky, and Zeus.
Mm-hmm. Favorite sport?
Football.
Favorite team?
Titans, sadly.
What music you listening to?
I listen to all genres. Probably going to catch hell, but alternative rock is one of the more that I listen to. But
drums or flats?
I have no idea. Oh, you mean like wings? Yeah, he asked the music question. Yeah, I was like, I don't know what a flat is.
I went to.
I love that flats. Yeah.
Okay.
MJ or LeBron?
Michael Jordan.
I ain't got a LeBron out here. What's your sign?
Gemini.
Gemini. Oh, yep, damn.
Twins.
Yeah. I'm friends a lot.
Go to salad dressing.
Probably honey mustard.
Okay.
Were you gonna ask me a password word?
Huh?
Ask me a password next.
Yeah, what's your password?
Where you see yourself in 5 years?
That's a tough question. I don't want to give away which politician I'm gonna go after's position. So I'll be in office. How about that? Is that a
What inspires you on a you know, daily basis? What's your why?
Be better than I was yesterday.
Oh, I do.
That's simple and to the point, but if you do that, you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
You always stay. Is there anything else you would like to add? I know we've kind of covered a lot here. Is there anything that you want to throw out there?
Get registered. Vote and get on the ticket if you want to make change.
That's what's up. How can people find you online?
I have Facebook. That's the main thing. You can find me easily on Facebook, whether it's campaign page or my private page.
So don't you need to kind of start deciding what you're going to...
He's decided. He's
to prepare for what office, though? Like, don't you kind of need to get something in your sight set on something?
So there's a lot of deadlines and stuff. So you can't do a lot of stuff before a certain time because then you get into campaign violations. I can't take donations, which I never took a donation because I want to do it cheaply. But if you... give intent, then you have to start tracking your money. You can prepare mentally and you can have discussions and, you know, all that stuff. But actually declaring your intent.
Yeah.
So that's why you had to kind of avoid that question. Huh?
Yeah.
Well, so what's up, man? Well, you know, best of luck on everything. We appreciate you coming through today. And hopefully we'll have you back again when it comes time and you can declare your intent.
All right. Sounds good.